Today, Shir's Masechta Moed Katnan Daf Yud. We will begin at the top of the Amud with the words Hahedya Teifer Kedarkoi. In today's Daf, we will see that Letzorech HaMoed, certain things are permitted even though they are a Maise Umen, they're done by a craftsman. For example, if a thing is done with a Shinui and it's needed for the Moed, so even though it's a Maise Umen, it's permitted. A Maisa Hedjit is always considered as if it is a Shinui, as we will see in our Gemara. And if you have a Dover Ha'ovud, that is permitted even not through a Shinui, even though it's a Maisa Oman, as long as it's Tzarech HaMayed. You could see that in the top Toisvus on Daf Yud Amud Aleph, Nira Dafka L'Tzarech HaMayed, Aval Bechinam Loma Yatira Fula Yudei Shinui. Why should they permit the stitching? We're speaking here about a tailor. Why should it be permitted even through a shinui? So it must be Letzorech HaMoed. So then, either Maisa Omen with a shinui or Maisa Hedjit, which is tantamount by its very nature. The Hedjit is not a professional, so whatever he does when he sews equals Maisa Omen with a shinui. Miyu Tois continues, Loi Ayri B'Dover Ovid. We're not speaking about a Dover Ovid. Where a loss could incur, the heicha, the ikka, dover avid, kamel and krab yoysi, the ein matzrich shinu bedover avid, that you could do a maisa umen, letzorech hamoyed, and you don't even need a shinui if it is a dover avid. Later in the Gemara, we will see that there's other heterim for a maisa umen, and that is when it's tzorech oichel nefesh, or even machshire oichel nefesh, that's also mutter, even a maisa umen. This has been a general introduction to today's daf, and now we begin with the Gemara explaining the next phrase of our Mishnah. Hahedya Teifer Kedarkoi. If a person is not a tailor, he's just a plain person, so he's allowed to sew in his normal way. He doesn't have to make a shinui, as we explained in the Hagdama, that it's tantamount to a shinui. Hechidami Hedjit. What sewing practice of an individual is considered Maisa Hedjit, and it doesn't require a further shinui. Amri de Beir Rabbi Yanai, kol she'en yochol lohotzi mole machat bevasachas. If a person is unable to do what a tailor is able to do, as Rashi explains, a tailor is able to loop many loops at one time, many stitches, but he leaves them loose, and they are as wide, says Rashi, kemole orech hamachat, the full length of the needle. In other words, he's doing a needle full of stitches, and then he pulls on it at one time, bevasachas, and all of the stitches are made. So only a professional is able to do that. So if a person knows how to do that, then he's an umen. Then he'll need further shinuyim, as we're going to learn. But if he's not able to do that, then he's a hedjit, and then he can sew regularly without a shinui. Rabbi Yosef Rechanina Amar Kol Sheni Yochel Lechaven Imra Bechapas Chalukoi. If he's not able to evenly make the bottom of his hem, of his garment, that he doesn't make in one spot wider, in one spot thinner, but it's all equal the same. So if he's able to do that, he's an umen. If he's not able to do that, then he is a hedjit. Halacha l'maisa, we paskin, that if a person is able to do even one of these things, he's considered an umen. Because we don't know which one is considered an umen. One could argue, well, since Hilchas Chol HaMoed are mid Rabbanon, so Sofik Rabbanon Lekula, and therefore, maybe even one of these alone, we say no. The halacha is that he has to not be able to do both of them. We have to be machmer that the person is unable to do both of these things. Continues the Gemara. V'ha'umen machlev. If a person is established that he's an umen, so then he should make stitches, he should make a shinui. If he's a skilled tailor, then he should make stitches like a dog. In what way is his stitches like a dog? My machlev, from the word kelev, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Rav Siya. Rabbi Yochanan says it means to make wide stitches. In other words, he skips a stitch. Similar to the teeth of a dog, which are wide. Rabba bar Shmuel amar shine kalbus. It means the stitches of a dog, the teeth of a dog, where Rashi explains one is upper, one is lower. They're not on the same level. So he makes one stitch higher, one stitch lower. That would be the shinui. And as we spoke out before, a woman would not be able to do one of these shinuyim. We can't say Sofik Rabban Lakula because we're not sure which is the real shinui. So in fact, if an Umman were to sew on Chol HaMoed, he would have to use both shinuyim. He'd have to make it wider, and he'd have to make one higher and one lower. Continues the Gemara, explaining the next phrase of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said on Daf Chesam Beis that the Tanakhama holds Misargin as Hamitos, as we'll soon explain what that means. And Rabbi Yossi says, Mematchin es amitoi. So now the Gemara wants to know the definition of these two terms. My mesargin, umay mematchin. So, ki osu Rav Dimi Omar, Rav Dimi came and said, Pligi bar Rav Chiyah bar Abba of Rabbi Yossi. There's a machlois between Rav Chiyah bar Abba and Rabbi Yossi. Vitarvayu, and both Rav Chiyah bar Abba and Rav Yossi are arguing Mishmei de Chizki vi Rabbi Yochanan. In the name of Chizki vi Rabbi Yochanan, in other words, they both have an opinion what Chizki and Rabbi Yochanan said about these words, Misargin and Mimaskin. Chad Omar, one of them says, you know what the definition of Misargin is? Shesi ve'erev, that it means Shesi ve'erev. That it means that we're speaking about a bed which has a wooden framework. And the ropes are put into the bed horizontally and vertically. And on top of that, they used to put a mattress. So the Tanakhama holds that you're permitted on Chol HaMoed to actually, according to one opinion, Chad Omar Misargin means Shesi Ve'erev. So according to that opinion, what does Rabbi Yossi mean when he says that you're not allowed to be Misarig on Chol HaMoed, but you're only allowed to be Mimaschin and means Shesi B'loy Erev, that you're only allowed to put it one way and not the other? V'chad Omar, and the other one says Pshat in the Machlokas in our Mishnah, Misargin Shesi B'loy Erev, that Misargin means that you could do Shesi B'loy Erev. U'mamaschin, what is Mamaschin? She'imo Yerofi, that if it was not tight, if it was loose, Mematchoy, that you're allowed to tighten it. This is how the Gemara understands it. Amy asked the Gemara Kasha, so by the way, just let us explain that Shesi Ve'erev would mean that the person's allowed to do a Maisa Uman. If you do Shesi without Erev, then it means it's a Maisa Hedget. And that we're going to see in the Gemara there those who hold that you can't even tighten it, as we'll see later in the Gemara. There's going to be a three-way Machloikis here. The Gemara, let's see what the Gemara says. Eini v'hotoni Rav Tachlifa. How could you say this pshat? I'll ask you a kasha from Rav Tachlifa Bar Shol. V'shoven, they are equal, even though we had a machlokes in the Mishnah. How much is permitted to make of this bed on Chol HaMoed? If it's Misargin or Mimaskin, but both shittas hold, she'ei mafshil l'chavol l'chatchila, that you're not allowed to twist the ropes for the bed l'chatchila. So bishloim l'mandiyom Misargin shesiv erev, if you say the pshat, that Misargin means that you're even allowed to do it vertically and horizontally. Umimaskin means shesiv erev, that you're allowed to do it only vertically and not horizontally. So hainu diktani Rav Tachlifa Bar Shol, now it makes sense what Rav Tachlifa Bar Shol said, vishavin, that both opinions hold, she'ein mafshil l'chavol l'chatchila, that even though you're allowed to do shesiv erev, or Shesi B'loy Erev, but to twist the ropes l'chatchila, that they did not permit you to do on Chol HaMoed. Ela l'man d'yomer. But according to the pshat that we said before in the Machlokas, that one says Misargin Shesi B'loy Erev. That Misargin means not Shesi and Erev. Nobody's mutter that, according to one opinion. But what does Misargin mean? Shesi B'loy Erev. And Mimaschin means Shim Hoyu Rafu, Hoyu Mimatchoy, that if it was loose, you can tighten it. So, I have a question. Hashda Shesi V'Erev Amrat Loi. You're telling me that all Shitas in the Mishnah agree that you can't do Shesi and Erev. Chavol M'chatchila M'boya. So Rav Tachlifa Bar Shaul had to come along and tell us, Vishavin Shein Mavshim Chaval Mechatchila. They're Vishavin already that they don't do Shasi Ve'erev. So for sure you don't do the twisting. That's even a further, that would even be a further heter. If I don't let you do the Shasi Ve'erev, for sure I don't let you twist the ropes of Chatchila. So Lachaira, it would be Mashma, that Misargin means Shasi Ve'erev, Memaskin means Shasi Ve'loyerev, so then Rab Tachlifa had to tell you that you can't twist the ropes. But if you learn the other pshat, why do I need this Chiddush Rab Tachlifa? It's obvious. If everybody agrees you can't do Shasi Ve'erev, then what's the Havimina that you would even do more, which is twisting the ropes of Chatchila? So L'chayra, that other pshat, is a weak pshat. The Gemara says, you're right, Kasha. Ein Echanami, it's Taka Kasha. But then the Gemara goes on. The Gemara says, not only, the Gemara is not finished. The Gemara, meanwhile, asks the Kasha, now the Gemara knocks that pshat totally off the map. Omar Lei, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Rav Chiya Bar Avin, Miyik Laman D'Yomer Misargin Shasi B'loy Erev. Is there anyone who holds that your Misargin Shasi B'loy Erev? Is there anyone who holds that Misargin means Shasi B'loy Erev? We just asked the Kasha on this Shita. But now we're saying it's not possible to say the Shita B'chlal. Why? Vatznan, we learned in a Mishnah concerning Tumah, Rav Meir Eimer, when does a bed, is it considered a Keli to Mekabel Tumah? Hamita, Mishe Yisroig B'shloy Shabbatim. When you already, as Rashi explains, you already have, let's say, three rows shesi, and now you put three rows across erev. You have it vertical and horizontal. At that point, the squares that you are forming are called batim. So you already, once you've established these three rows of vertical and horizontal, then it's considered already a bed. Now it's fitting to put on it a mattress. Memel, it's makabel tumah. So what do I see klor from this definition of a mayor? That the word yisroig, misargin, means shesi and erev. So memel, how could I entertain the havamina that the yisroig means shesi below erev? So before we had a kasha on this pshat, and now we wipe this pshat totally off the map. Ella, ki also Rav and Amar, you're right. Bimisargin kuli amalei pligidu shesiv erev. You've proven to me from the Mishnah concerning Tumah, which Rav Meir gave the definition of misargin, that misargin means shesiv erev. So on that, there was no machloikis before. We had two shitas, what exactly the definition of misargin and mimaskin is. So enechanami, misargin, there's no machloikis. You know where the machloikis was? The machloikis was alaki plig b'maschin. The machloikis was in b'maschin. Mar sover b'maschin shesi b'lo yerev. So one man, the Yomer, said that b'maschin means that you do shesi without erev. Umar sover shim ha yerafim b'maschin, that if it was loose, that you're allowed to tighten it. On that, there's a machloikis. In other words, when Rabbi Yossi said that all you're allowed to do on Chol HaMoed is to be b'maschin, how far was Rabbi Yossi permitting? Was he permitting shesi beloy erev? Is that what mamaska means? Or was he permitting less than that, which that means you had already the shesi of erev was on the wooden framework, and all the person's allowed to do on Chol HaMoed is tighten it. That's the machloikis in Rabbi Yossi. But as far as the Tanakhama is concerned, as far as Misargin, everybody holds that Misargin means shesi of erev. On this comes the second Tosis on the Amud, and the Tosis asks Tema, in the Divrei HaMaskil b'Misargin, Kuli Amalei Pligidu Shesiv Erev. According to the way we're learning now, everybody holds you do Shesiv Erev. Tema, Heich Mutter Lasses Malach Kihai B'loi Shinui. It doesn't tell you to do any Shinui. What's Tosis Kasha? Because Tosis understands that Shesiv Erev is Maisa Umin. If you're going to do horizontal or vertical, that's already considered a Maisa Umin. If it's a Maisa Umin, so what were the klolim we learned in the Tosis before, which we began to share with? That has to be Litzara Chamoyed, and a Maisa Omen needs a Shinui. Or, we said, if it's a Dover Ovid, you don't need a Shinui. So, Einech Nami, the Rosh and Taisus Rosh answered Taisus Kasha, that this is considered a Dover Ovid. The Rush says it's considered a davar avid. If it's considered a davar avid, then echanami, you don't need a shinui. And with l'chayru, we can understand what exactly is the davar avid here with what the Talmud Rabbi Chilmi Pari says. It's speaking about the person doesn't have any other bed. When a person doesn't have any other bed, so memeil it's taka davar avid. If he's not going to be able to construct this on chol amayit, memeil therefore it's mutter, even though shesiv erev is a maisa omen. The Tanakam holds its mutter because it has a din of a davar avid, and then it's mutter even without a shinui. Continues the Gemara, Meisr, I'll ask you a question. Misarganis amita, you're allowed to be misargamita. Now we are going now with the definition of that. What does misarg mean? Shesi ve'erev. Ve'ein sarach loyim v'shem matchin. So the Tanakam of this brisa holds that misargin is mutter, and certainly memaschin is mutter, whatever memaschin means. Shesi b'loyerev, or tightening it, divi Rab Meir. That's what Rab Meir holds. Rab Yossi, disagrees. Memaschin, you can tighten it, you can do misuch, whatever misuch means. Avaloi misargin, I disagree, you cannot do misargin. V'yesh oimrim, and some say, ey memaschin kol iker, you're not allowed to do misuch at all. We have now a machloikis. What does memaschin mean? Does it mean shasi b'loyerv, or does it mean tighten? So if I learn memaschin and shasi b'loyerv, now I understand the three shitas. Hainu da'asu yeshayrim. That's why yeshayrim came along. Le'ifluge. They came to argue, and they said that you're permitting shesi b'loyerev, which is a maisa hedjit. We hold even a maisa hedjit is not permitted on chol amoed. The only thing you're allowed to do is to tighten. Elo lemandi yomar shem ha'yirav v'fui memaschay. But according to the pshat, that what did memaschin mean? That if it's loose, you can tighten it. Liyesh oimer memaschay nami loy. Are you going to tell me now that he can't even tighten it? Why not? What kind of malacha is there in tightening something? You have the shesi on, you have the erev on, it's loose, so the guy tightens it. So what aver is he doing on chol amoed? Why should that be usher? Zakti Gemara in, no, there is a problem. Why? Kiven de efsher lememalye bimane, since there's a slack there, it's loose. But I could put in garments, and those garments could fill up the hole of where it's loose in the ropes, and then I could put my mattress on, I could still sleep. As Rashi says, he considers it tircha shalai letzarech, as the Gemara concludes, loy tachina, we're not matriach. So it comes out, according to the Maskan of the Gemara, we have three shitas over here. One shita holds that you're even permitted misargin. And what does misargin mean? Shesiv erev. And shesiv erev, we said, was a maisa uman. Even maisa uman is permitted without a shinui. Why? Because we learned it's considered a davar avid. He has no other bed. That's the case we're speaking about. There's no other bed for him to use, so it's a davar ha'avid. And davar avid is mutter, even though it's a maisa uman without a shinui. The second shita holds, a davar maisa uman is not mutter. However, a maisa hedge would be mutter. The third shita says that even a maisa hedge would not be mutter. Even to tighten it would not be mutter. Why? Because it would be tircha shalai letzarech, since he could have a different method by filling it up with the garments. Therefore, we don't even permit the tightening. According to that pshat of tightening, even that one shita would hold that it would be usser. Continues the Gemara with the next Mishnah. Mamidin tanur v'chirayim v'reichayim b'moyed. You're allowed to l'chatchila establish a tanur and kirayim. Tanur and kirayim, we had a mesech to Shabbos, an oven or a stove. Rechayim are millstones on chol amoyed. Now, the Bach points out here that Rashi says something here opposite of what he says in the sugya in Kira in Masechta Shabbos. Rashi here says that a tanner it has a place for two kederos, and a kira has a place for only one kedera. In Masechta Shabbos, Perikira, it says the opposite. As the Bach points out in Ois Gimel, that makam shvisas kedera achas, that's a tanner, and kira is makam shvisas shtei kederos. Kein hu bereish Perikira. Be it as it may, these are two different types of ovens. One can hold one one pot and the other is able to hold two pots. Now, if you look in Rashi, you will notice that Rashi does not bring down the word rechayim. He just says mamidin, taner v'kirayim. If you look in the Rabbeinu Chananel, on the left side of the daf, you'll see the same thing. Mamidin, taner v'kirayim, b'moyed. Rabbeinu Chananel is even clearer than Rashi because he puts in the word b'moyed. What happened to the word rechayim? Our Mishnah says, Mamidim Tanav Kiram Virachaim B'moyed. So, in fact, the Ritva says that there's a girsa in our Mishnah that takes out the word Rechayim, and that it would seem that Rashi and Rabbeinu Chananel had that girsa. What's the issue over here? What is the heter of our Mishnah to build? You're actually doing a malacha of building these ovens on Chol HaMoed. The answer, it's certainly a Maisa Uman. The answer is, it's a Tzarech HaMoyed, but not only, it's every time you do a Mais Uman on Moyed, Chol HaMoyed, it has to be Tzarech HaMoyed. But it's Tzarech HaMoyed, and it's also for Oichel Nefesh. So for Oichel Nefesh, it permits you to do a Mais Uman even without a Shinui. That's the Chiddush of our Mishnah. And not only Oichel Nefesh alone, but even Machshirei Oichel Nefesh. Even something that's going to prepare the food for Achila, as in the case of preparing an oven in which you're going to cook something. So the oven itself is considered machshiri oichel nefesh, mais omen is mutter without a shinui. However, rechayim is already two steps removed. That's a hechsher de hechsher. I have the millstones, rechayim are millstones. I'm crushing the grain in order to make the flour. Then I'm going to take the flour and I'm going to bake it in an oven. So that's already machshirei de machshirei. Machshirei de machshirei, the shita of the Rabbeinu Chananel and Rashi, the Ritva, who are not Garis Rechaim, say that's that far we don't extend the heter to do a maisom and to build a Rechaim. But there are those, as we have it in our Mishnah, who are Garis Rechaim, we'll see later that there is an Amoira who, according to some shitas, he must have had the gears in our Mishnah that Rechaim is permitted. But meanwhile, we see that there's a question about Rechaim, but certainly Tanav Karayim, which are a Hechsher of Oichel Nefesh, that certainly you're allowed to build it, according to our Mishnah, Lechatchila, on Chol HaMoed. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Ein Mechapshin Es Rechaim B'tchila. You don't do Mechapshin to Rechaim B'tchila. What the word Mechapshin means, we're going to see immediately in the Gemara. Says the Gemara, my mechab. It could either possibly that he was responding to the Rechayim of the Tanakhama. Yeah, it's possible, or you could say that he's just saying an independent din that no one held that you could make a Rechayim lechatchila. But he even went further that you can't even do mechapshin lechatchila. My mechapshin says, well, what is this word of Rabbi Yehuda mechapshin? So we have two pshatim in the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, Rabbi Yehuda says, menaker rechaya, that it means that he cuts grooves in to the millstone. There's a difficult Rashi here, because Rashi says, the first Rashi in the Gemara, shekishihi yishena, Yeshana v'cholka, when it gets old and it gets rubbed out, so there's no more grooves in the millstone. You have an upper millstone and a lower millstone, and one is stationary, the other one is moving around, and it crushes the wheat that makes the flour. So if it only can crush the grain if there's grooves there. And as time goes on, it gets smooth and there's no more grooves. You have to make new grooves. So Rashi seems to learn the Mishnah, which the Gemara is going on Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Ein Mechab Shem Zerchaim B'tchili, that it's speaking about an old one. And as you look in the Tosfos, the fifth Tosfos on the Amud, Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Tosfos says Beferish not like that. Ubechadasha Kamer, Dabi Gemara, Matur Yeshana. In the Gemara, Rabbi Yehud himself says Yishan is mutter to make these grooves. I'm only prohibiting the new one. The new one is a much more strenuous a millstone that never had any grooves in it at all. It's a much bigger avoided to put the grooves in. But Yishan, Rabbi Yehud says he says mutter. It's mashra. That's what he holds. And yet Rashi in our Mishnah says it's speaking about an old one. The Rashi is difficult. And Bepashtis, it's like what Tosfos says, that our Gemara is referring to Rebbe Yehuda in the Mishnah, a new one. So what is the problem here? My Mechabshim, Rebbe Yehuda Omer, Menaka Rechaya, that he is cutting grooves into this new millstone that never had it before, and that's what Rebbe Yehuda is prohibiting. Rabbi Chiel Omer, Rabbi Chiel says a different pshat in Mechabshim, he's making a bas eina. Bas eina means, Rashi explains, there's a hole that you make in the middle of the rechayim, and the grain falls there, and that's part of the crushing process of how the wheat is crushed when it goes through that hole. And without that hole, you can't do the whole milling process. Which is certainly a maisa umin, which Rabbi Yehuda holds that one is not l'chatchila allowed to do it. And the lashon of Rabbi Yehuda is on chadasha, because that's what he means, batchila. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ein mechab shukhan, batchila means to begin with when it's new. So again, Rashi is difficult that he says that it's old. Ask the Gemara Meisve, mamid in tanav karan b'moyed. We learned in a brisa that you can establish a taner karam lechatchil on chol hamoed b'levad shalai yigmar melachton, that you shouldn't finish it completely until after yontif. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, af yigmar, you're allowed to finish it completely. Rabbi Yehuda aimer mishmoi, Rabbi Yehuda said in his name amidim es chadasha, that a new one you could set up. Umechapshin es hayishana. Here we see Klor, Rabbi Yehuda says that you can make grooves in an old one. V'yeshayim emechapshin kol ikar, that you can't make grooves at all, not in a new one and not in an old one. Bishlam lamandi yomer mechapshin min naka rechayu. If I learned the pshat of mechapshin is that you are making grooves hainu d'mishkach shel hayishana. So that's how it's possible, as Rashi explained, that by an old one it can get smoothed out over time. The grooves can get smoothed out. So I understand how not only by a new one do you make grooves by an old one also. But according to the pshat that you're putting a hole through it where the wheat goes through to be crushed, yishana basena lomala. What do you have to make? What's the pshat that you're making a basena and an old one? If it's an old one, it has a basena already. So the chara, that pshat is wrong in what the word mechapsha means. So Gemara answers, going to Kaboilar, Vuchei Tvei Purta, that it has a hole, but he wants to make the hole a little bigger. So that's what, so according to one Mandiyomer, it's permitted. And V'yeshayim, Ein Mechapshin Kol Iker. So this pshat could still fit into the word of Mechapshin. Rav Hunna Shamilahu Gavra, Rabbi Hunna heard this man, the Kamenaka Rechai B'chol Demar, he heard him cutting grooves in the millstones on Chol HaMoed. Omar, he said, Manhai, who is this man? Whoever is doing such a thing, Ischel Gufe, let his body be desecrated, Dekomechel Chol HaMoed, because he's Mechalel, he's desecrating Chol HaMoed. So the Mefarshim explain that he didn't know whether the Rechaim were new or old, so we see that he held that even if it's an old one, it's also Aser. And that's why the Gemara says Savrulak Yesh Aimrim. He must hold like the Yesh Aimrim. What did the Yesh Aimrim say? Ein mechapshin kol ikar, that even by Yishana, which is easier to make the grooves in, but still it is usher, and that's why he held like that sheet to Rav Hunna. So I don't know if you're doing new or old, doesn't matter, it's always usher. Since you did it, he gave him a curse, a klola, that your body should be desecrated because you desecrated Chol HaMoed, because I hold like the Yesharim that it's usher. Dorish Rav Chama, Noikrin Rechaim B'mayit. Rav Chama made a drasha that Noikrin Rechaim B'mayit, that he held that you're allowed to make grooves in Rechaim on Chol HaMoed. The Ritva speaks out. Since he's not mechalek between old and new, it's Mashmah. Rabbi Chama holds even new ones you're allowed to make these grooves in. And the Mefarshim try to figure out who is Rabbi Chama holding like. And one of the pshatim is that he had the girsa in our Mishnah, not like Rashi and Rabbeinu Chanan and the Ritva, but like we have in our Mishnah, the mamidim tanav akram v'chayim. b'moyed, that you're allowed to make a tanner and a karam and a rechayim on chol ha-moyed, and that's why Rav Chama said, if you're allowed to make l'chatchila a millstone for on chol ha-moyed, then certainly you're allowed to make the grooves on chol ha-moyed as well. So Rav Chama certainly had the gears in our mission, according to this pshat, that rechayim are permitted on chol ha-moyed, even to establish it l'chatchila. Now the Gemara goes into a different halacha. Mishum Rav Meir Amar Afilasus Shereichav Alav. Even a horse that you ride on Chol HaMoed, V'chamor Shereichav Alav, or a donkey, the gears over here is mutter litol tzipor naim b'chol Shol HaMoed. You're allowed to cut the nails, the hooves of these animals on Chol HaMoed. As Rashi says, the last Rashi on the Amid, mutter litol tzipor naim k'der ha'oisen achshav asus shalonu, like we do to our horses. The Eloi Ovid Lehachi have a late tsar of Lehmotzi Azal. You want to take it on a trip and it won't be able to go well, and therefore it is permitted to do. The bottom Toisvis says, Pirish b'Toisvis, L'tzor r'chamoyed, that you can only take a trip, L'tzor r'chamoyed. Mash masher osher l'rchav b'chinem, that just to go and take your buggy, horse and buggy, or your car, and you're going to go, if there's no purpose at all, to the Mephorsh would say, of course, to visit someone, that's called tzor r'chamoyed. But let's say someone were just to go into a car, for no purpose whatsoever and take a ride, it could be a big question. So, continues the Gemara on Daf Yud Amud Beis, Avol Chamra Derechai Eloi, as Rashi says, they used to use donkeys to move around the millstones. There you're not allowed to cut its nails, according to this Mandiyomer. As Rashi explains, because the only thing you're allowed to grind for Chol HaMoed is what's necessary to eat for the moed itself, which is not a large amount. So the animal will not have to work so long and so hard to do it. Therefore, it is not such a tzoyrech if its hooves are not cut. And therefore, it's not permitted to go on a trip, which is which will be much more difficult. There is a heter, but not the chamra that's used, the chamor that's used for the rechayim. Now, Toisus, the top Toisus points out that each country, it depends on what's necessary. Actually, let's learn the next line of the Gemara first. Rabbi Yehuda Shori Lemishkal Tufrei Lechamra Derechayah. He did permit, in our, to cut the nails of the hooves of the chamor that was used for the millstones. Because since it can do its work in a better way, he felt that it is permitted. And Taisa says, it's dependent always according to the necessities of that particular locale that you're at. Taisa says, in our places, where they used to have horseshoes, where the ground was hard ground, and they used to get ruined, and the only way the horses could go on it was with horseshoes. So Taisa says, these horseshoes were not at the time of Chachamim, because they didn't need it. All they needed to do was to cut the hooves. But we require it. They didn't need it. The interesting Taisa says, Shahaya Karka Mitunenes. It was moist ground. Kamoi Borussia, like in Russia. In Russia, they had moist ground. So there, the donkeys and the horses could go without horseshoes. But in other places where horseshoes are necessary because of the hard ground, it'll even be mutter to put on the horseshoes on Chol HaMoed. Continues the Gemara that Rabbi Yehuda, not only did he permit the cutting of the hooves, but he also le'ukme rechayim. Rashi explains that means to put the rechayim one on top of the other. Ulemivne rechayim, and to build the entire rechayim. Ulemivne amas rechayim. What's amas rechayim? There's two pshatim. Rashi learns that it means the ha'eit sharechayim bani. I love that's the frame in which the millstones are put, and others learn Amas means the water. He can build a waterway that the waterway can make the millstones go round and round. He's allowed to do that on Chol HaMoed. Ulemivne Uriah, and he's also allowed to build a barn for the animals to rest, because since the cattle or a stable for horses If a horse or other animals don't have a place to rest, it could affect them in an adverse way. Therefore, it's considered like a Dover Ovid, which is permitted on Chol HaMoed. Now, our girsa in the Gemara here is Rava. However, the Rosh's girsa is Rav. And it's very important, as we'll soon see, who is saying this member. So let's go with the girsa of the Rosh. Rav shora l'sruke susya. Rav permitted, Rashi says, to comb the hair of a horse on Chol HaMoed with iron combs. So Tosfos, in the second Tosfos, at the end of the second Tosfos, says, I don't like this pshat of Rashi, because this is something which we have, that Reb Shimon holds, that it's a dover she'ena mischaven, and even if whether you would be causing blood to come out, or whether you would be causing hair to come out, it would be dover she'ena mischaven is mutter. It seems now that it would be mutter even on Yontif. It's a dover she'ena mischaven, and what's the chiddush over here that it's mutter? So Tosfos says, al inyan acharhu, and in the Piskei HaTosfos and the Mordechai, they explain that it's speaking about according to them, a comb where it's not an ena mischaven, but it's a psik resha where it has to come out a hair or blood. So then in Echanami, it would be usher normally. However, on Chol HaMoed is mutter. Why is it talk of mutter on Chol HaMoed? And now, as a person wants to go out with his animal looking very nice, this is the way Tosfos learns. However, Rabbi Akiva Eiger tells us that this is only if you hold the girsa is Rava. But if you hold like the Rush, that the girsa is Rav, then there's no problem to begin with. Why? Because Rav Shita is that Dover She'ena Mischaven is Aser. So if Dover She'ena Mischaven is Aser, so then it's very good. You don't have to say it's speaking about a special kind of comb here, which is a psik resha comb. It's not an Ena Mischaven comb. It's a psik resha comb. Rav holds that Dover She'ena Mischaven is Aser. So according to Rav, that it's already a chiddush on Chol HaMoed, even regular combing, which normally on Yontif would be Aser, on Chol HaMoed, for the various reasons that we gave, it is mutter to comb with a regular comb. Then also, what else did Rava or Rav permit? Ulemivne akarpita, ulemivne itstaba. Tosfos learns that these are two kinds of benches. The first one is a wooden bench, the second one is a stone bench. And Rashi learns the second one is a stone bench, and the first one, Rashi says, is a trough in which you put the grain for the animals to eat. And now the Gemara is going to tell us eight halachas that Rava gave concerning Chol HaMoed. Rava shor l'mishkol dama l'behemah b'chol d'moed. Rava allowed blood to be let from an animal Chol HaMoed. Amar le'abaya, Abaya said to Rava, Tani the Mesalach, I'll bring your riots mutter, because makiz and dam l'behemah, you're allowed to make his dam on an animal on Chol HaMoed. And you don't prevent any refuah to an animal on Chol HaMoed. So Tosfos says that our Gemara must be speaking that you're doing a malacha, because if you were not doing a malacha, Tosfos brings down, and the whole isser is like you have that a person shouldn't take medicine, a refuah on Shabbos or Yontiv, because of shchika samimanim, because he might come to grind up things for the medicine, and if that's the whole reason, the gzeira, so Tosfos brings down that even on Shabbos it's permitted. There's a man d'yomer who we paskin like that says that there's no gzeira shchika samimanim for a refuah of a behema. So if we're bringing this gemara, it must be that we're speaking that there's a malach involved. If there's a malach involved, that would be usher on Shabbos and Yontif. The chiddush is that it's permitted on Chol HaMoed. As we said, the reasons before, there's tzar balachayim, if we don't do the refu, it's detrimental, it's considered a dover ovid. So that's why there are these heterim. Rava shara l'chaschusche kirme. He permitted to press, Rashi says this means gihutz, pressing of the clothing on Chol HaMoed. Now, Moshe Feinstein points out that our pressing, if you send to a dry cleaner, even if he doesn't clean it, if he just presses, that's considered a mais omen, and that's not permitted for us to even just press in a dry cleaner. But this is speaking about what a hedja did, which is not a professional, it's not a mais omen. Rav Ashur lechashusei kirma. My time? Because maisa hedjit hu. That type of pressing of clothes was considered a maisa hedjit. Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Ami, Amar Rav Chisda, kiturei biri asur. To pleat sleeves is prohibited on Chol HaMoed. My time? Maisa umenu. That's already pleating a sleeve. That's already a professional does that. And that's asur on Chol HaMoed. Amar Rav. Now comes all these dinim that Rav said. And the next four dinim are very similar in the idea that they're trying to bring out. Basically, we could sum up the idea that not only is what you're supposed to do on Chol HaMoed, it has to have a heter, but you have to show everybody that you're doing it for the right reason. If you have two reasons, one's a good reason, one's not a good reason, you have to show everybody you're doing it for the right reason. Amar Rav, man de maskel ara. If somebody is removing obstacles in the ground, if he's doing it a day to the Beit Dori because he wants to make an area where he can thresh things, shori. But if a day to the Ara, but if he's doing it for preparing the ground for planting, then it's usher, because then it's like Harisha. Hey, chidami. What does he have to do to show everybody that he's doing it for threshing and he's not doing it for Harisha? So here's the answer. Mulya b'mulya, v'nitza b'nitza. And now we're going to go with the Bach, who tells us that Rashi's girsa is different than we have in the Gemara. That is adaita da'ara. However, shakal mulya v'shada b'nitza, that's adaita d'beit dori. Which means, if he takes a high spot of the ground, and he scoops it up, and he puts it on a high spot. So he's showing, I'm not trying to level the ground, because if I was trying to level the ground, I would take a high spot and I would put it to a low spot. Why am I taking from a high to a high? The answer is because I'm just making the ground soft for planting. That's a daita da'ara, and that taka will be usher. So that's the way Rashi has the girsa here. Mulya b'mulya v'nitza b'nitza, high, high, low, low, that means you're plowing. If it's plowing, that's a daita da'ara, that's usher. But shako mulya v'shara b'nitza, but if you took a high spot and you threw it into a low spot, so then what does it mean? You're trying to level the ground. Trying to level the ground, that's a daita da'ara. Dori, that's for threshing, and that's taka mutter. V'yomarava haiman de zachi ziki, a person who's clearing twigs. If he does it adaita de tzivi, sure, if he's doing it for the wood, it's mutter. Adaita de ar, if he wants to prepare the ground for planting, osir. Hey, chidomi, what does he have to do to show that he's doing it for the right reason? Shakel rav reviv shavik zutri, if he took the big piece of wood and he left the small piece of wood, adaita de tzivi, shakel. That's a proof that he's doing it to take the wood, and that's mutter. But robbery visitor, if he takes the big pieces and the small pieces, he's not taking it for firewood. He wants to clear the ground from any obstacles there, any pieces, whether it's big or small, then it's a daita da'ara, and it is usher. V'yamarava. Haiman de pasuk ma'alari. Somebody who had a river next to his field. And in between the river and the field, there was an indentation. There was a little place where water could go. And he makes a breach in the banks of the water, of the river, and the water goes in there. So now it depends, why did he do that? If he did it, adaita kivri, if he wants to trap fish, because when the water will go out of that indentation into the rest of his field, what will be left in that bore? He'll have left fish, sure. He's allowed to trap fish for eating on Yontif. Adaita da'ara, but if he wants that water to go into that indentation, and from there to water the rest of his field. And we're speaking about such a field which is ushered to irrigate on, for example, there's no plants in it yet, a sada habal, whatever the case may be, where irrigating it would be usher on Chol HaMoed. So if he does it, a daita ara usher. Hey, chidami, what should he do to show what's his real reason? Pasach trei bavi, if he opens two gates, chadmi loy, one on top, chadmi tatoi, one on the bottom. So then he's showing that he wants the water in and he wants the water out. So what is his purpose? Adaita dekvari. He wants it for the fish because he wants to trap the fish in that indentation. And he's not interested in the water. It'll be a psik ratio the water's going to get anyway. So Rav Neuvard in Shmir Shabbos Kilcha says, a big chiddush, that there's no halach of psik ratio on Isurei Cholamayit. That's his chiddush. Pasach chad bov adaita da'ara, but if he opens up only one gate, so that means that he just wants the water to come into that crevice, that indentation, then he's not doing it for the fish. But he wants the water to go in and overflow to the rest of his field, then it's a riot that adai to da'ara, that he's doing it for the ground, and it's usur. V'yomer Rava, Haiman de Pasha Dikla, a person who's pruning a tree. If adai to dechiyusa, if he's doing it for food for his animals, shori. Adai to the dikla, if he's doing it to make the tree grow better, adai to the dikla, usur. Hey, chidomi, what should he do? Shokol, kule mechad gisa, if he takes, whether it's lach or yavesh, whether it's dried up or moist, twigs from one side of the tree, that's a raya daita dechiyusa. That's food for the animals. But mahaygisu mahaygis, if, as Rashi explains, he takes yavesh from one side, and he looks for the yavesh, the dried ones from the other side, a daita dedikla, that's a proof that it's from the tree. He wants to make the tree, it's not for his animals. He's looking only for the ones that are dried up. He wants the tree to grow better. V'asur, that is asur to do on cholamoid. V'yamirava, hani tamari tucholni, these dates that are unripe, migazarinu, he can cut them in half. Shori, that is mutter. So the Chazon Ish doesn't understand Rashi here. Rashi says that you can cut these dates in half to eat them. Why not? What should be the problem? So the Chazon Ish says it makes more sense, according to the other Rishonim, that he's actually doing this, cutting it off from the tree itself. However, Maitzinu Aser, if he is going to press out the juice from the dates, and then Rashi says it's usur because it needs a few days to do it. He's not going to eat it on Yantiv. He's going to eat it on the Chol. He's preparing from Chol HaMoed to the weekday because this takes a while till the juice gets pressed out. That is usur to do in Chol HaMoed. However, a pauper says, Kivin de Misli, since if you leave it around, they get wormy. Parkemachia ha'avidami, it's like a business which a person can lose money on, which a person is permitted. If something can go wrong, it's a davar of it, and that's permitted to be done in Chol HaMoed. Vishori, and it is permitted. V'yomer Rava, parkamat yikol shuasur. The Chachamim prohibited on Chol HaMoed to do business, any kind of business. But, Amar Rav Yosef bar Avin, davar of it mutter. If it's a davar of it, it is permitted. Now, there is a machloek shushanim here. How far does davar of it go as far as parkamacha? One of the reasons of parkamacha business is also because you might come to write. Also, another reason in the Rishonim is because it's a tircha shaloi letzairach, tircha yisera. So we're not talking about a malacha here, but a tircha yisera. So Rashi sheet is, davar of it means even if you will lose profit. The Chazon Ish wants to know, why is this so? Earlier, when we learned about Dover Ovid, it was only if the Karen would get lost, but not the profit. The Chazon Ish wants to be mechalik between a malacha, which is only mutter if it's a Dover Ovid of the Karen, whereas Parkamachi, which is not a malacha, as we said, it's tircha, but not a malacha. So tircha is even permitted when it is menias harevich, where you won't gain some profit. And also the Chazon Ish says that at today, the value of this item includes my profit if it became more valuable, so my profit becomes a chelik of the keren. We can look at it that way, and mimela, that's why by business, a davar ovid would be mutter, even if it would mean I would lose profit. However, Taisus over here in the bottom, Taisus says, Pirish bedavar she'im la yim kerenu, ata shem la yim kerenu, yofa pam acheres v'yafsid min akeren. You might not be able to sell it, and you'll lose out from the market value at the time that you purchased it. Avalim lo yafsim min akeren elish lo yarvich kol kach ein zechash davar ovid. So Tosfos disagrees, and Tosfos says that this would not be considered a davar ovid, that which Rashi says menias harevach, not having the right amount of profit, would be a davar ovid. Tosfos disagrees. Ravina havli ahu iska. Ravina had this merchandise that he wanted to sell. Davim is davim b'shita alfi. That he the value, if he would have sold in a Chol HaMoed, was 6,000 coins. Shaya, he waited, Lizvuni, to sell it. Boser Chol HaMoed, after Chol HaMoed, viz Vinei, how much did he sell it for? Betreis Alfei, for 12,000. So in other words, by waiting and not selling on Chol HaMoed, he even made a profit. Ravina Havei Masik Zuzei B'bnei Ikra D'Shanusa. Ravina was owed money by the people who lived on the banks of the river Shanusa. Also the Kamed Ravashi, Armalei, Ma'ala Mezel Idna Alayu. Can I go and collect my money today on Chol HaMoed? Amalei, he answered him, Kivin da idnu hu de mishkach selahu, since you know that they're at home now and you could find them at home, b'yayim echrin aloy mishkach selahu, and on another day when you want to go to collect your money, you may not find them there. Parke matcha ha'ovid dami v'shari. It's like a business transaction where you could lose money on, and it is permitted to collect the money on Chol HaMoed. Tanya, Nami Gabi Avodah Zarah Ki Ay Gavnu. We have learned concerning the Isser of Avodah Zarah similarly, that if you're not going to find the people there when you want to find them, that the Chazal gave a dispensation for a person to do things which normally would be prohibited. We learned, Holchen Liyirid Shel Akub. You can go, as we turn to Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, you can go to the fair of the Avodah Zarah. And this was a fair that was done before their holiday. And the Mefarshim say that why was the fair called Yirid? Because we always try to say something negative about the Avodah Zarah. So Yirid, it should go down. It should be Yored. You're allowed to go there. They have all kinds of good deals. And even though normally we don't do business with them because Chas V'Shalom, somebody could come to be Moida to Avodah Zarah, but here where the person could lose money, he wouldn't be able to get these special deals again, so it is permitted. V'loichem behema avada mishvachas, a person can purchase animals and slaves and maids, batim, houses, sadas, fields, ukramim, and vineyards, v'kaisiv u'malabar karshalan, he can even go into their courts, which again we usually don't do. A person not supposed to go to Goyish courts. The reason is because since he just bought it, and by registering his purchase in the court, he can make sure that the Goy will not be able to renege on his commitment to sell this item. So he's like saving his money from their hands. So therefore, Chazal were lenient in his ability to do such a thing. So it's the same idea that we had before, that since this would be the only time when he would be able to have the goy appear in front of the court, so the Chazal permitted the person, because he's saving money by doing this, that he's allowed to do it. Continues the Gemara, Rav Shor l'Chiyabarashi, Rav permitted Chiyabarashi l'migdal Uri b'Chol HaMoed, that he could make small fish traps on Chol HaMoed. My time, a Maisa Hedyud, because it's only a Maisa Hedyud, not a Maisa Umen. Aval Isli, but bird traps, bigger ones, Osir, my time, a Maisa Umen. Those were considered a Maisa Umen, and that's Osir on Chol HaMoed. Rav Yehuda Shor La'ami Tanur, there was a person called Ami, and he was the oven maker. L'migdal Tanuri, that he could build a tanner on Chol HaMoed. Ula Ravabar Isbi, L'migdal Malusa, to make sieves on Chol HaMoed. For Eid Gemara, Eini, is that so that you're allowed to make a tanner on Chol HaMoed? V'hatani Rabbar Shmuel v'shavian. Everybody agrees she'ain goydlin tanner l'chatchila, that you can't make a tanner l'chatchila. The Gemara answers, like Kasha, kambi moisachama, kambi moisach shamim. As Rashi explains, if it's Pesach time to make a tanner where it is not the rainy season and the sun is out and it's going to dry up right away, so he's going to be able to use that tanner on Chol HaMoed Pesach, then he's doing it for the needs of Tzarech HaMoed, and he's going to be able to use it, that's permitted. But if he builds a tanner in the Sukkos, in Chol HaMoed Sukkos, which is in the rainy season, and it's not going to become baked by the sun because it's raining, there's no sun, and he's not going to be able to use the tanner on Chol HaMoed Sukkos. So then what's he doing? He's really building this tanner for after Yontiv. And in Chanami, he's not allowed to build it on Chol HaMoed. So therefore it comes out, there is no stira, kan bimois hachama, kan bimois hakshamim.